How to care for your soul. Just before we get started, basically we need to understand that the real you is analogous in the scriptures. It's your heart. It's you, your spirit. And then you have a soul, and then you have your body. And we have to understand that the soul, what the soul is. If we're going to care for a soul, we need to have a definition of what it is. So it is our thinking. It is our feeling. And it is our will. In fact, it can be stated, it's our mind, will, and emotions. Will means simply the power to act. And the soul generally carries out the instructions of the heart. But in caring for our soul, what we need to do is understand some of the basic principles. Now, we've already covered four. I'm going to mention them briefly. Number one, we must realize that the care of your own soul is the ultimate importance. The scripture says that we receive the end of our faith. In other words, the whole purpose of faith is that we'd have the salvation of our minds, the salvation of our emotions, and the salvation of our will. Don't make any mistake about this. Salvation is not just some little spiritual entity that happened once in a while or some time ago. Its intent is to change our minds, change our emotions, and equip our will to be more functional. So realize the importance. It is the salvation of our thinking, our feeling, and our power to act. The second thing we learned is that we must assume total responsibility. In patience, possess ye your soul. One of the tragic verses is, "No man cared for my soul." So you have to take up the slack. There is a God who really cares, as we're going to find out in a few moments, but you need to assume responsibility for your soul. To possess your soul means to take control. It means to take command. It means to occupy. It's a military term. Take charge and hold the territory and not let anybody or anything else interfere with your soul. Never let anybody mess with your soul. Ready? Don't let anybody mess with your thinking, your mind. Don't let anybody mess with your emotions. Don't let anybody mess with your power to act. Assume responsibility. Then we learn that we must know the dangers to the soul if it's not cared for. And so we went through, we had a list of 77, and so it's fundamentally important that we understand, because if we don't grasp what the issues are, we will fall into traps. And so we learn some of these: anger and bitterness and vengefulness and distress and discouraged, depressed and suicidal. The soul can be wounded, troubled. It can be deceived. It can be violated. It can be broken. It can be controlled. It can become self-hating. It can be fearful. It can be overwhelmed. The soul can be damaged. Anyone who has not experienced the salvation of God is, generally speaking, living with a damaged soul to some degree or another. Some damages are not culturally acceptable, and some are. We'll talk about that in a moment. Fourthly, we must realize the benefits of caring for our soul. And so we spent time already on the 8 benefits of caring for your soul. And that means caring for your mind, caring for your emotions, and caring for your act. Your ability to act, rather. Okay, so here we go today. We want to start with a new point, and here it is. Learn to yield your soul, discipline your soul, to yield to the indwelling Holy Spirit and the implanted Word of God. Do you remember David told us this? Thy word have I hid in my heart, so I won't sin against thee. Okay? So we have made it our business to get the word from the pages of the Bible into our heart through our minds to become part of us. And what we must do if you're going to care for your soul is must learn to yield to this indwelling Holy Spirit and the implanted word. In fact, here's the scripture for it. it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Another way of verbalizing this is yield your thinking, your feelings, and your actions to the indwelling Spirit of God and the implanted Word. Well, how, and that's our main subject for today, is point number 5. So let's take a look then about yielding to God's Spirit and his Word, how it impacts your soul. Here we go. There are external contenders for your soul. The world is one of them. The culture, the surround, the way the world is trying to affect your soul. Let's take a look at the scripture. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now watch this, this is what's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And these three aspects of the world are constantly vying to control your mind. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the external contenders. The world is the first one. Another one is the devil himself. He is after your soul. Be warned. This should probably be in capital letters. The devil wants to damage your thinking. He wants to control your emotions. He wants to affect you in such a way that your will to do right is impaired and your will to do wrong is incited and encouraged. So let's look at the scripture. Be sober. Be serious. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to damage your soul. Now there's a third external contender for your soul, and it is others. Let me show you. Now it's basically evil others, but watch this scripture now, because it's affecting the soul. These are external things that want to, watch here now, that want to get in here and control this whole area. To make you think a certain way. Because if they can get you to think, they can even damage this. But they're after your soul. So watch this now. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Watch this. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare. Look at this. To your soul. Your soul gets damaged by exposure to angry people. And the chances are, by the what we call the law of association, okay? You know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. The law of association is they will contaminate your soul, and you'll start thinking like them. Like they think, you'll think it's rational to be angry and out of control like they are. It will damage your soul. In fact, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise. But look at this, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So again, we're going to later on deal with the externals, contenders for your soul. But can I tell you what's really happening in America right now? I want you to see it from the scripture. Are you ready? Look at this now. Shall the throne of iniquity get along with you? Watch this now. The throne of iniquity, the word throne, is referring to our government leaders. It's the three branches of government. Watch this now. Shall their iniquity, shall we have fellowship with them? Can we get along with what they are doing? Now watch here. Don't miss the scripture. Don't leave your eyes from the intelligent monitor. Here's what they're doing. Which frameth evil and mischief by making laws. So government leaders, controlled by their iniquity, make laws. Now watch it. Watch this. Watch the next verse. They frame mischief by law. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous. They're passing laws to legalize sin. They're passing laws to legalize iniquity. They're passing laws to legalize evil. They are passing laws to legalize and promote abominations. They're out of fellowship with us. But they're collectively doing this together, the scripture says. And the danger is that our souls get damaged. The legalization and the proliferation of perversion is immense. They have forgotten something. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The biggest and greatest, most significant need in America right now is to reverse immoral laws. Laws that give you right to kill babies. Laws that give you a right for all kinds of abominations. So, we face our souls. We have external contenders who are trying to manipulate, coerce, adjust our thinking. How we feel about things. And if they're allowed, they will weaken our will. Our resolution to do something about this. It is the single American national crisis right now. So, let's get back to the subject now. In the broader sense, there are external contenders for your soul. Now, there are two internal forces of the soul. So, you got outside contenders, but there are two internal forces that affect the soul. So, let's take this first one. This is say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Watch this now. And the Spirit against the flesh. Now watch this. Watch this. And these are contrary the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would just easily be able to do because this flesh power is trying to affect your thinking. It's trying to affect your emotions. It's trying to contort, distort your will. So these two internal forces, one is the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. and the other is the flesh. And these two are the internal forces that attempt to affect the soul. Now, these two, the spirit and the flesh, are at enmity with one another, as you just saw. These are contrary one to the other. One, the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So, my friends, this needs to be understood. That internally, represented by this red arrow here, is the flesh. It is attempting to control your thinking, your emotions, and what you will to do. Okay. The other is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes, and they are contrary one to the other. That's why, watch our main point here, is that to get the care of your soul done properly, we must yield to God's Spirit and the imparted word that's within us and not to our flesh. Isn't this an interesting scripture? Don't quench the Spirit. Look at this. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, now look at the condition of your soul. The mind. This is talking about the mind. The spiritual mind versus the fleshly mind, right? So we're talking about the soul. When we talk about the mind, we're talking about the soul. The spiritually minded, listen, what happens to your soul, you get life and peace. Wow. Watch this now. Because the carnal, the fleshly mind, the mind, don't miss this, the mind, is enmity against God. Because it's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. It's got its own agenda, and it's an internal force that attempts to distort, disturb your thinking and your emotions. They are enmity one with another. So watch here. Quench not the Spirit is really important. You do not want to prevent the Holy Spirit from having His way on your mind, on your thinking, on your emotions, on your will. Don't quench the Spirit. Now, yielding to the flesh, because we get to yield to one or the other, right? Is always destructive. Always destructive. Again, the same verse. The lust is against the Spirit. So you, look at this. It prevents you from doing what you would do. In contrast, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now watch this. The flesh profits nothing. It's going to do no good to your mind. Nothing but damage. Contort, distort your thinking. So Jesus comes along and he says, the Spirit quickens. The flesh profits nothing. But the words I'm speaking, the things I'm speaking to you, they are spirit. And they are life. Oh, it's so delightful. So watch this now. Here's what happens if we follow the flesh. Are you ready? The works of the flesh are these. Adultery. Fornication. That, by the way, the word comes from the word porneo, from which we get pornography. It's a broad term of every kind of sexual deviation you can imagine. Uncleanness is referring to a certain type of sexual perversion. as we talked about moments ago, that are now being legalized, promoted. And we have damaged brains. Lasciviousness, which is being motivated towards lustful sights, thoughts, ideas, feelings, actions. Idolatry, which is setting anything up above God to pursue something where it takes over and starts to control you. The flesh likes idolatry. Witchcraft, bringing about, you know, they have black and white witchcraft now. And the contention is now you can get evil spirits to help you do what's good, witchcraft. Hatred. If the flesh rules, we learn to hate. And variance, which is a competition with others, trying to one-upmanship the other person. Sure. Emulations, is to give off negative and damaging. Could be a look on the face, could be a word spoken, it could be an action. Yeah. Wrath. Acts done in vengeance. Going to get back at him. He gave me the finger, I'm going to give him the finger. You know? So see, watch this now. When somebody cuts you off while you're driving, how do you respond? Do you respond by the spirit or do you respond by the flesh? Now I'm really messing with you, aren't I? I'm speaking from experience. Strife. Contention. The flesh always wants to take on an argument. To contend. Strife. 17 of these, by the way. Seditions. What is that? It is sowing discontent about those in authority. It's about speaking against your parent. It's about speaking against the pastor. It's about speaking against the elders. Where's Joe? It's about speaking against proper government. Laws of the land. Sedition. Sowing discontent about those in authority. Heresies. Mixing wrong with right. Mixing error with truth. Heresies isn't just untruth. It is a mixture of truth and untruth. Okay? Envying. The desire for that which belongs to another. Murders. Remember what Jesus taught us. We hate somebody. In our hearts we're murdered. We haven't carried out the act, but... Drunkenness. Every form of inebriation. The flesh goes there. Because it's think. The flesh wants to influence the think and indicate in strong terms that this is a good way to go. Makes you feel like you need the drug. Revelings, just illicit partying. And then the scripture says, and such like. And so I've added, et cetera, et cetera. All kinds of things. Because yielding to the flesh always produces, watch this now, destructive behaviors which can only come from destructive thinking.
Right.
Which can only come from destructive feelings. Which come from the power to act being so distorted. That's what the flesh does. Now that scripture ends. after the list of these 17 works of the flesh. And he says, of which I tell you before, I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Can I pause for a moment to ask you this? If you took these 17 works of the flesh and made them an overlay of our culture, would they fit? It shows you the grievous state we are in nationally. Now, yielding to the flesh is always destructive. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, this didn't just, but it does include physical, total, absolute, lights out. But there are a lot of people who are dead while they walk. This is a death to the spirit. It's like destructive. Let me give you a filter translation. So then, my brothers, you can see that we have no particular reason to feel grateful to our sensual nature, the lust, or to live life on the level of those instincts. Indeed, that way of living leads to certain spiritual death. But if, on the other hand, you cut the nerve, look at this, cut the nerve of your instinctive actions by, how do you do that? By obeying the Spirit, you are on the way to real life, real living. Wow. Okay, so let's keep going. If we yield to the Spirit instead of the flesh, we will conquer the flesh. We can put it into subjection. So, my brothers, we are debtors. Now, look at this. We are debtors not to live after the flesh. I don't have to live that way. I'm not a debtor. I don't owe it to my flesh to live after the flesh. This is good news, right? For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But now watch this. If ye through the Spirit. Remember, these two are the two contrasting forces that are internal. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that mortuary, mortician, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So watch this now. Yielding to the Spirit, watch it now. Watch the screen. Conquers the flesh. Submits it, subdues it. It loses its impact. It also, watch this, yielding to the Spirit doesn't only conquer the flesh, it conquers the world. Remember? Remember. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Oh. You're of God, little children, and you've overcome them, because, watch this now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, that couldn't be more important for your soul to understand, that these two internal forces, one, the flesh can be conquered, and two, the Spirit that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Every devil, every demon, every temptation, every influence of other person, every government law and official act, it's greater. The power of the Spirit is greater in you than everything that's in the world. Yielding to the Spirit conquers the flesh. Yielding to the Spirit conquers the world. It shall no longer have power over you anymore. So here we are. The world gets canceled by the power of the Spirit. Now watch this. The world gets canceled in terms of its power to affect our soul. The world gets canceled in terms of its power to affect our thinking. The world gets canceled in terms of its power to affect our way we feel about things. And certainly, it can no longer affect our actions. Because friendship with the world is enmity with God. The two don't go together. Now, God's Spirit and His Word empowers the soul. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because, watch it now, He hath given us His Spirit. Every born again, blood washed, Bible believing, repentant person has come to the cross. And Jesus says, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. Watch. Here it is. The Scripture says that you have received the Spirit. Watch it now. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because given us the Spirit. Now listen to what Jesus says. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another, somebody to take my place because I'm leaving, He said. I'm going to give you another comforter. What is that? Someone who's going to help you. And that He, this comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, may abide. That's a big word. Abide. Reside. Stay in. You. Forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not and doesn't know Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you. Look at this now. He dwells with you and shall be in you. All right? Got it? Let's go to the Ezekiel's prophecy of this same event. A new heart also will I give you. I'm going to change your heart. Look at this. I'm going to change your spirit. I'm going to put it within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, not stone. Whoa. Big character change. Big disposition change. Big core development here going on. And I will put my Spirit within you. Now watch what the Spirit is able to do. Ready? I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and you shall do them because you're going to have the power to do it. Because I'm putting my Spirit within you. So God's Spirit, then, this imparted word that we've put inside of us, empowers our soul. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Yielding to God is the basis for how we respond to and treat others and every circumstance of our lives. Remember, if you deal with people after the flesh, you will be destructive. But if you will live and treat people after the Spirit, oh my goodness. This is why the soul's number one champion is God Himself. Ready? God is a tremendous lover. He comes to show you how to empower your soul. Now, what's necessary to experience this change of soul, which, as you're going to see in a moment, changes how we treat others, how we respond to every outside circumstance, this power is in you, and it is functionalized by this one concept: yielding to the power that's in you, yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the indwelling Spirit of God. Now watch the scripture in its totality. Know you not, don't you know this? That to whom, notice this is a person, to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey. The soul, we're going to deal with all those external incoming stuff later. The world, the devil, and etc. But today, the important point for the caring of your soul is to train the soul to yield to the Holy Spirit that's in you and not to the flesh. Because then your mind will be absolutely transformed. And you will know how to respond to every life situation. You will know how to treat other people. Now watch this. Jesus is saying, he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly, or the innermost parts of his being, shall flow rivers of living water. Watch now. But this spake he of the Spirit. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is in you. Now the question is, can the Holy Spirit, will you yield to the Spirit that's in you and allow him to so affect you that you change the lives of other people? Will you yield the Spirit, will you allow the Spirit to change your thinking, your emotions, and your actions? Now watch. How shall we then know if we are yielded to the Holy Spirit? The answer lies in simply observing how we treat others. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, follow the flesh, you're going to start a war probably of some sort. Follow the Spirit, you will, no matter how obnoxious the incoming is, no matter how out of sorts, no matter how cruel, no matter how wrong, no matter how perverted the other person might be. If we respond after the flesh, we're going to damage. But if we, watch now, if we respond by yielding to God's Spirit, it will always be love towards everybody. What? What is this? What is this? It is choosing what is best for another person without personal profit as a motive. So the Holy Spirit comes to transform the way I think about every outside person. And the proof of it, that I'm really yielded to the Spirit, is that I love. And then, do I joyfully engage others? Do I joyfully approach the situation, the need, the crises? Because you see, when the Spirit is yielded to, it is this fruit of Him that starts to, it cannot help but manifest because we yield to the Spirit. And this is what the Spirit is like. I'm able to keep my peace. Huh? That's an old-fashioned phrase. Somebody, in years gone by, someone who could hold their peace. You can stay calm, cool, collective. You can keep your composure because the Spirit affects your mind and your feelings so much so. And see, otherwise the flesh is going to react to this other person, outside stimuli. But not the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't react to them. The Spirit teaches us how to respond to them. Enables us to suffer. We don't like the suffering thing, but you know, love suffers long and is kind to the one that causes suffering. So, you know, what happens to all these others when we yield to the Spirit? We not only love them, we're not going to choose what's best for them, no matter how cantankerous. In fact, watch this. Listen to this. Don't miss this in your notes. Those who deserve love the least are the ones who need it the most. You see, as we follow the Spirit, we see people radically different. They try to hurt us. We suffer, we look back at them, and what do we see? We see their hurt. We see their out of control. You see, this is God think. So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we were able to suffer long. And because if we yield to the Spirit, we're going to deal with these people according to the Spirit. Our mind, our thinking is changed. Our emotions are changed. And we are gentle with them, even if they are harsh with us. The Spirit control will never allow the, and sometimes absolutely demonic, but the incoming ugliness of an other. The Spirit does not allow us to be provoked to do back to them the same thing they did to us. The flesh will do that. But not Spirit. We're going to do good. That's what God does. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We'll have faith that there can be a good outcome. Because for once in this other obnoxious person's life, they're meeting somebody who doesn't deal with them with the same level of obnoxiousness. In fact, love meets hate. And for the first time, perhaps for the first time in their life, they have met somebody who's the real deal. Somebody that's like Jesus. Meekness, the opposite of pride. Controlled temper. Wow. The most important principle, we're going to cover many more. We really are. This is so important. Scriptures do not leave us ignorant. Okay. But this is categorically, this is number one. This is fundamentally imperative. This idea that if I yield to the Spirit in me, the way I think about everybody else will be changed by the Spirit, and I'll think about them the way the Spirit thinks about them. With love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So, here's the task before us. Walk in the Spirit. The idea here is, this is not a one-shot deal every once in a while. It's a way of life for us. We yield to the Spirit 24/7. It affects the tenor of how we treat everybody, especially those of our own household. So they that are Christ, watch us now, have crucified the flesh. Now, let's stop here just for a moment. You cannot control the flesh. It must be crucified. The arm of flesh will always fail. It must be negated, zeroed out. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Now watch this. They have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Yeah. Dead. And now we live in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit, now I want you to notice this. Let us also. I want you to notice this also word. In addition, now that you have the Spirit, now that you know this, walk in it. Walk simply means allowing the Spirit that's in you to constantly control the way you think, the way you feel, and your power to act. Now, I know this is not in your notes, but I want you to get this in conclusion. Yielding to God's Spirit and the Word that is in you is, in effect, following the WWJD principle. What is that? What would Jesus do? That's how we live. We do what Jesus would do. You see, the Spirit and Jesus are synonymous. It's the Spirit of Christ. So let this way of thinking be in you, which was in Christ. And now, by yielding to God's Spirit and the implanted word that we've put in our hearts, now the soul is in its highest state of being, transformed, put in a thinking, emotional, and acting condition, authorized, appointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the paraclesis of the paraclete, the third person of the Trinity. I hope you'll say amen.